This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
To succeed as an entrepreneur, you need to have a thick skin. You will hear no multiple times from different people, customers, clients, investors. Embrace a no as a sign that the opportunity may not have been the greatest of fits. Remember, no is part of the process. Don't take it personally. Words of wisdom. Welcome to Future CEOs. My name is Hlubi Mboya-Arnold. You know what? It is coming up to March, and you know that March is the month of the South African woman. And boy, let me tell you, every day I'm inspired, every day I am mentored, every day I am motivated, not only but what the entrepreneurs as women themselves do, but how they are uplifting and educating and creating access for other women. And on that wonderful opening, I think it'll only be fitting to introduce my first guest, Charlotte Duplessis, founder and director, managing director of Women of Stature. Welcome to the show, Charlotte.
Thank you very much for that warm welcome, Hlubi. I am so honored and so humbled to be your guest today, and I look forward to an engaging conversation with you today.
If this is the first time anyone is listening to Future CEOs, as I said in my wonderful introduction, and you'll tell by the company that I keep that this show is about education. It's about business tools. It's about advocating and amplifying entrepreneurship. And as I said, we're coming up to the month of March. And for South Africa, that is the month of women and girls, especially in business in the South African landscape. Charlotte, you have seen a lot. You've done a lot. Tell us who you are and what you're doing in the next couple of weeks, gearing up for the great show of Women of Stature.
Thank you. Yes, it's been a wonderful journey. You know, there's nothing more enthuses me more than to be in the company of great women.
Yeah.
And I've had an incredible journey throughout my life. I've been surrounded by wonderful women, starting with my own mother, who was an incredible role model. She was a lady. She epitomized everything and all the qualities that any daughter could want to see in her mother. So she was my role model. Then I was surrounded by amazing sisters. I was blessed with two older sisters. And obviously, you know, being the youngest of three, you always used to follow their lead. And I think that's been my journey. So starting off in a home where the woman was really respected and you know, we were always made to feel that we were something really special. My father was an incredible man. He loved my mother. He was an incredible businessman. And I guess that's where my entrepreneurship actually has come from, is through the mere fact that my parents had their own business. They were business owners. And so I was born literally into this
wow,
incredible family of incredible people, strong, powerful, wise people. And yes, I think through the years, my father instilled in me and my mother that, you know, you need to be the owner of your own destiny.
Absolutely.
You know, so it didn't happen overnight. You also alluded to that. It's not an easy journey. It's a lonely journey. But fortunately, there are a lot of people around us, a lot of people that can mentor us, that can help us along this journey. And I hope to be able to share some words of wisdom today with current entrepreneurs or potential entrepreneurs, because I think we as a nation, we as a country, we need to embrace these opportunities, and we have to grow more entrepreneurs in South Africa, because I think it's a worldwide trend that people need to take charge of their own destiny.
I'm so glad you said worldwide trend. You know, in the beginning I said March, especially for South African women, for South Africans, it's all about women. It's actually March, the 8th of March is International Women's Day, which puts us in a place of even bigger gravitas and bigger dreams. But yet, you know, those lessons have to be learnt no matter what stage of your entrepreneurial career. Charlotte, run us through a story whereby whether you were starting out in your business as a travel in the travel industry or Penny Lane Productions, just before, you know, the big role that you're playing as the managing director of Women of Stature, what pitfalls and setbacks or hardcore lessons you have to learn about you, your business, or just the journey itself?
Well, I think the first place you need to start, and Chloe, and I think this is very important, and I think this is where a lot of people go wrong, and I went wrong there, is that you think you know it all. You may think that you're ready, but unless you have really done a lot of soul searching and a lot of research into what it is to actually start a business, what is required, because it's
what steps did you take?
Well, the thing is, when I first started, I didn't take many steps at all, and therefore I had an unfortunate scenario where it didn't work at first, because I was basing my knowledge or my vision on a very self-centered aspect of it, and thinking that, you know, I can go out there and I can conquer the world and people will just love me and they'll just buy whatever it is that I'm selling them. And then the reality struck and I realized that I had gone about this totally the wrong way. I mean, when you start up a business, you have to know so much more about it than what you realize. And I think this is the biggest lesson I learned. And I mean, I stepped out at the age of 40. Where I thought I was now at the right place to start a business. And I mean, 40, you'd think that I would have had a tremendous amount of experience to start a business. But the thing is that unless you have made it your lifelong ambition to learn about business from an early age, you cannot just step out at a certain age of life and say, okay, well, I've worked for this company for so many years, I think I know it all, and I'm going to walk. It just doesn't work like that. And I failed dismally. And
how
it had,
so?
Well, it failed because there was no clients. There was no financial backing. I mean, I stepped out not realizing the impact it was going to have on me in my emotional state. You know, it had a very bad result, because it did send me off into a spiral of depression and
self-doubt,
and I lost my self-worth, and I lost my confidence,
and
I landed up in places where I wouldn't want anybody to land up. And that is why I say, you know, now, especially over the last 10-15 years of my life, you know, that I've really wisened up, and I guess it's a late stage of your life to wisen up, but believe me, when you've been in a comfort zone,
and you
think everything, you know, the world is just, you know, it's all in Afrikaans, they say, well, it isn't. It really isn't. It is extremely hard. And, you know, when you're raising a family and you've got these young children that are looking up to you and they have an expectation, and then you suddenly realize, I made the biggest mistake of my life. I shouldn't have left that job. I should have rather have stayed and been happy with what I've got. But, you know, there's this inner voice that keeps telling you, there's more out there, there's more out there, go and find it. And you tend to allow that to override and overrule the head, and you're thinking with your heart. And I think that's the biggest mistake I made. I was thinking with my heart, and I was, oh, you know, I want to do this, I want this.
So women, at a certain age, what advice are you giving to us from this story, Charlotte?
The advice I'm giving you is never ever make a decision based on just a dream or just a vision. The advice I want to give you is make 100% sure that you are, and this is unfortunately the one and only thing that I can really base it on, is that you have to be financially sound, because everything, and it is, we know this, money is what makes the world go round.
I know.
And it's what puts food on the table. And if you're not in that position, don't dare go out there and even try it on your own.
And
do it in a way that you can ease yourself out of a possibly secured job, ease yourself out. I know that there's a very strict corporate governance, and in business you can't be running a business on the sideline. But all I'm saying is that until you are 100% sure that you've got the investors, you've got the backing, you've got everything that is going to be required of you emotionally, physically, mentally,
spiritually,
that's when you do it. Because that's when you've got the energy then. Because the minute your energy gets tapped because of emotional trauma, financial difficulties, personal difficulties or challenges as a result of the decision and choice that you've made, you know, it you actually fall to the ground. And that's what happened to me. And it wasn't a good time in my life. I could see a lot of my family were very affected by it because, you know, they obviously, in fact, a lot of my friends were shocked. They thought, here's a strong woman. I mean, I was portrayed this very strong and confident woman. Yes, I possibly was, but I didn't realize the implication of taking that step out. And I put my family through a lot of trauma as a result of it. My children were still very young. I lost my car. I couldn't drive myself to work. I was totally deflated. And how I got out of it? That's the next question. How do you get yourself out of it?
Of course it is.
By the grace of God. That's all I can say, by the grace of God. And, you know, if I look back now and I say, gosh, I wish I'd only been more cautious about things. And that's what I'm hoping to be able to do in what I'm, you know, sharing with you today and with anybody outside of this forum, is just to say, just caution yourself.
You know what? It's so relevant what you're saying, because, you know, as women, we've got the roles of wife, mother, granddaughter, and list goes on. And we find ourselves wanting to define ourselves and create our own dreams and aspirations. And that might and usually does happen later on in life. So these decisions, yes, with all that family package with it, but also still wanting to be an individual, especially with the tough economic times that we're living as entrepreneurs right now, guide us into pieces or mentors that helped you get yourself out of the gutter. Where did you turn to? Where did you go? Where can we go?
Well, I was in my own situation. Again, my family rallied around me. I got, and strangely enough, it was one of my nephews who is a wonderful. In fact, all my nephews are wonderful, so I can't say one is more wonderful than the other. But what happened in this particular instance is because I was in such a severe depression as a result of the choices I made and the results because of it, you know, is that he was talking to me and referring to the basics, just get back to the basics. Get back to the basics. And I mean, I remember sitting in a car absolutely distraught one day, and I felt as though, you know, there was just nothing left to really live for virtually. And I remember him saying, just get back to the basics. Get back to the basics. And I kept repeating that to myself, just get back to the basics. So when I share or when I mentor, I mentor on the basis of what I experienced, and then I would definitely want the person to be absolutely ready. Just be ready in yourself as a person, as a woman, where you are in your life, what your circumstances are. And, you know, that is my best advice. There's so many mentors out there. I mean, I'm surrounding myself with them every single day.
What for you defines a mentor?
Well, it's somebody that gives great advice. Not good, but great advice. That is a good mentor. That is a great mentor. And that is exactly what a mentor should be doing. He shouldn't be telling you exactly how to do it. But what he should be, or she should be doing, and in my case it's a she and a he, because my husband's my mentor. I've got an incredible husband. I've had two amazing men in my life, and my first husband and I unfortunately got to a stage where it just wasn't the right thing anymore. We parted ways, but he was a great man. He was a great father to my children. He had really a warm heart, but unfortunately, you know, circumstances drove him to make certain decisions, and he took a different path. Then I got remarried 16 years ago to another great man. And this great man has every single day since I met him and up until today, he is my sounding block. He's you know, he sees the wood. If they say the wood from the leaves or leaves from the wood or whatever the case
you
might
tell
be.
Me, yeah.
He is just one of those realists. He's a realist. He can't...
Doesn't beat around the bush.
He doesn't beat around the bush. And I think that is what one needs.
That's what one needs, Charlotte.
And that's why I say your relation, and getting back to who's your mentors, who have you got good relationships with, who are the people that really have enriched your life. Mm. So it can be from your mother to your father to your brothers,
and
sisters.
Personal development is so
that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
You know, it's self-development. You've got to get to that place where you are
self-aware, mindful.
Absolutely.
Talk about women of stature after a career spanning almost over 40 years.
Correct.
How did this come about?
Well, going back to my mother again. Mm-hmm. My mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. She was 65 at the time, and I was in my 30s. And, you know, it hits hard when suddenly you're being told your mother's got breast cancer. And the unfortunate scenario is that in those days, and that's going back a number of years, there was very little done for the woman to really she's not given time to even absorb the fact that she's been diagnosed, and she was like literally within 24, 48 hours, she was in hospital and her breast was removed. So it was that trauma that we were all like facing as
gobsmacked.
Wow.
Yeah. The basic
fundamentals of it was that I decided I've got to do something that is in respect of my mother. So I started getting very involved in the Cancer Association.
Yes.
And I started raising funds.
Yes.
And the way that I then started to do it was to mobilize women to actually start raising funds with me. And then we would have an honorary gala dinner where we honored these women, recognized them for the funds raised. Mm. And through that, there was a whole upliftment program that just organically happened. And I saw these women being transformed. I mean, women that wouldn't generally be on stage or want to be
doing
in the front
thing.
And I mean, I just saw this was all happening. And I that really left me realizing that, you know, it's not about the funds that we're raising now. It's more about what is this doing for this particular woman and how has it helped her to actually see a more in herself than what she believed, or believe more in herself than what she did. Then, so I had my very first Woman of the Year Awards was actually in 2001. Mm. Then, you know, life happened.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2013, I decided to consciously start a movement, an organization that was going to become relevant, and that all my years of experience, because I was in beauty pageants and I was
you
did a bit of research
all of that, all the good stuff,
so you know that obviously stuff. With all of that comes that experience
and the network
so in 2013, April of 2013, I decided to make this official, and I actually launched it. And so Woman of Substance was born, and Woman of Substance was the brand that I carried through until the end of 2015. And then, and I say, you know, it all happens for a good reason.
Correct.
There was another organization called the African Women Chartered Accountants who were running an annual Woman of Substance Awards.
Okay.
And they came to, you know, they became aware of me, and they were saying, wait a minute, that name belongs to us. And I said, oh, but I've been using, can't do, we've trademarked it. But you know what? Out of it came great stuff. Absolutely great stuff.
And these are business women across all sectors.
All sectors.
And when we talk about the five pillars of empowerment, what does that mean to you?
The five pillars of empowerment
is a
self-development tool, which then takes you through that entire experience of being really aware of who you are and what it is that makes you the woman you are today.
Okay.
So it starts with self, self-discovery, self-development.
Wonderful.
Eventually it runs itself through right to the business side of it. So the five pillars are in fact made up of those very fundamental elements, key elements, that will take a woman from a place to elevate her, to skill her, to educate her, to develop her into and transform her into a woman who could quite possibly be running her own business one day.
What do you think are the three characteristics that lead to businesswomen being successful in whatever industry they find themselves? What do you see in these women that are winners of these specific categories? What is it that sticks out for you?
Well, first of all, they don't lose sight of the fact that they are a woman. Never, 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 never lose that.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a man in a man's world.
Yeah.
You can be a woman in a man's world.
Yeah.
And women that are very successful in business, and these women, the nominees in the particular categories, these are women who are so comfortable in their own skins. They are pure women. They can stand up on any platform, and they can be challenged by any man, and they would be able to stand their
ground,
man, if I can say that as much as that, but this is what makes a strong woman: is always remain true to who you are. Never lose your authenticity. Never lose the fact that you are a woman, that you have been, you know, that you carry the attributes of a beautiful woman inside and out, and that I think is for me is the almost like the benchmark that has been set in my life.
Okay.
And that to me is important.
And then the other two characteristics?
Attitude,
yeah.
Attitude is very important. Is what is your attitude towards life? What is your attitude towards the people closest to you? And then the people that you surround yourself with. But attitude is what makes or breaks a person. And you know, I've been through it as a business owner, and have interviewed several people in my business, for my business, and the one thing that I always look for is, what is this person's attitude, and what is their attitude once they have started in the position that they have been employed in, and does that attitude change?
Nice.
So attitude is definitely something that is critical to success in life as well as in business.
Number three.
Well, there's actually more than three, but I can
bring it.
All right. There's got to be passion.
Yeah.
You've got to have passion for what you do. Now,
we passion. Hear that a lot these days, say Charlotte.
But passion, you know, passion is almost a bit of generalization. Because what is passion? And I actually had the most incredible speaker at an event, a woman's event actually, and she speaks about passion. And where does passion actually come from? Passion is something that is actually is in your makeup, in your body, in your anatomy, if I can call
your
it
DNA.
That. Your DNA is, there's passion, and that passion is triggered by certain reactions to things that you are busy with. So passion is absolutely a necessity, because when you get up in the morning, you need to be passionate about what your day is going to bring.
What's making you get up out
exactly.
of bed? I know.
So there's the love of there's a passionate side for love, and there's a passionate side for what it is that really makes me feel alive.
I love that. last one. Is there one more?
I think you need to have empathy as well. You know, empathy is something that it's not sympathy. You're not feeling sorry for scenarios, but you're feeling you have been there, you've done it, you've experienced it. That's in my particular personal case. I can say there's certain things that I've done and it's happened to me, that therefore I've got empathy with people. So you have to be empathetic. in business especially, because you're dealing with people's lives as well. You know, you're dealing with people's emotions. So when you are in a business, and we're talking future CEOs here, so these are people that have already, you know, they're moving into a space where they're going to have teams, people, and you know, they're obviously managing people.
Yes, yes.
So there is a definite empathetic side to you that you need to also understand how to be empathetic.
You're such a busy woman. Do you have time to read a good book? Anything that you can suggest that we read?
I can.
Yes, please do. You know what? We've got such a vast array of business books to read. What is a book that you read which tells it like it is?
Well, I'm actually, I can tell you now that there's a book that I'm reading at the moment.
Tell us.
And it's called What in the World Are You Waiting For?
Oh, my, I love it, Charlotte.
Angelique de Toy. Now, for me, that really says it all.
That says it all.
It says it all, because taking yourself in that, putting yourself in that place and saying, you know, what is this world that I'm in? What is it doing for me? And what can I do to make this world a better place? But is it the what the current circumstances, is that what is that our driving force? But yes, I can certainly say, if you haven't read it, go out and get it.
Okay, as we wrap up your half hour, Charlotte Duplessis, you know what, the women who finally do win, and not all of them are great, from the nominees to the winners of the Women of Stature, but what do you see has changed from a nominee to a winner when it comes to their potential as business women in their own rights?
Well, just on a quick note there, there are seven categories, and they are from community,
yes,
through to entrepreneur as well as business.
Yes.
So there are the four categories in business, which is healthcare,
yes,
education,
yes,
finance, and media.
Yes.
And then we have a youth ambassador category for young women between the age of 17 and 25.
Yes.
What defines these women? Well, quite simply, that these are women that obviously have really stood out in their field of expertise,
yes,
in what they are doing, from a community aspect through to entrepreneur as well as business. So the nominations that have come through over the past months, I mean, these are extraordinary women. They are women that actually fly under the radar.
Ooh.
And this is what we look for. We look for these women that are flying under the radar, who don't necessarily step out and tell the world exactly what they're doing. And hopefully through this platform that I've created, and this is my fifth year that I'm doing it officially, I hoped again to be able to just take these women and just give them to the world and say, look at what South African women are doing. Because this is a South African
We love that.
Awards. And it's national. So we've got women from all different parts of South Africa. So it's really, these are incredible women. I mean, I came from a session this morning where I had a few of the nominees that were being introduced to my network. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we were all like absolutely
blown away.
So that's what the awards is all about.
Last question, and I wish I had you for longer, but I'll definitely find a way to attend that event of yours. I will find a way. Looking back at your wonderful career, with its highs, with its lows, with its ebbs and its rivers and valleys, but here you are today with me in studio, looking in the mirror at the 21-year-old Charlotte Duplessis, what advice would you give to yourself about your future?
Education, education, education. That's what I can say. You can never know it all. And at 21, I was married. I got married just short of my 21st birthday. I believed that I knew enough to conquer the world. And I realize now that education is the most important because that knowledge, nobody can take that away from you. So that is my closing words to you, is to say every woman needs to be very educated. Today we're up against an incredibly competitive world, and knowledge is power.
That was Charlotte Duplessis, founder and managing director of Women of Stature. And she's telling you, future CEOs, ask yourself this. What in the world are you waiting for?
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.